fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. You're listening to WGRN 94.1, the Green Renaissance. And we're speaking with Dekema. Alexis with Be Quick, Black Queer and Intersectional Columbus. So, why do we need to be quick?
So, people need to be quick or at least get involved with supporting us because it's really important to have coalitions and organizations that champion intersectionality, and that's kind of where Be Quick came from. Ariana and I co-founded Be Quick officially in March of last year, 2017, because we saw that there weren't a lot of spaces in Columbus that were dedicated specifically to Black, queer, and trans folks. So along with the help of other individuals and meeting with other individuals that are Black and queer and trans in Columbus, we then founded the group together to start doing work and start feeling represented and having our voices uplifted.
So when you speak of intersectionality, how would you explain that to our listeners?
So I would kind of explain intersectionality as sort of like a compounding effect. So everyone has multiple identities, whether you're white, like in terms of racial identity or sexual orientation or class or religion, everyone has identities that fits into those different things. And intersectionality sort of pays attention to the oppression or privilege that you might face because of the coexisting nature of all these different identities. Kimberly Crenshaw coined the term to pay attention to the very specific racialized and sexualized oppression that Black women were facing. Because white women, when organizing within their spaces, they were championing female empowerment, but then still engaging in white supremacy. And then on the flip side of that, in Black spaces, it'd be about championing Blackness, but then there'd be a lot of misogyny happening. So Kimberly Crenshaw created this term intersectionality to talk about the racialized misogyny and then also the sexualized racism that Black women face. But this can be applied to talking about like Black, queer, and trans folks and how the intersections of Blackness and queerness or transness intersect in a very unique way that marginalizes us and oppresses us in a very unique way. And thinking about who, you know, can face like multiple oppressed identities, we're looking at like Black trans women and how that manifests in different ways, whether that's in the law enforcement arena or in personal relationships or in housing, employment, so on and so forth.
All right, I'm speaking to Dekema Alexis with Be Quick, Black, Queer, and Intersectional Columbus. And what effect, if any, did the Black Pride 4 have on Be Quick in terms of its politics? I noticed you mentioned how police treat different communities, people with different identities. Some arguments emerge that perhaps the Black trans community is the most vulnerable, the most open to police abuse.
Yes, exactly. So our politics are directly involved in advocating for Black, queer, and trans folks. So seeing how the police brutality that came down against the Black Pride 4 at Pride last year, how that manifested, it was very important for us to advocate for them because, you know, in many different communities, it will be the Black, queer, and trans folks that are incredibly victimized by police and targeted by police. Black, queer, and trans folks are highly criminalized and highly targeted for arrest. and for violence, which we saw very clearly in the way that CPD reacted. And, you know, that also shouldn't be much of a surprise considering how CPD has a very long, long history of brutalizing Black residents. So it also stands to reason that they would intervene violently when it comes to Black, queer, and trans folks protesting peacefully, which is what they did last year. So afterwards, a lot of BeQuick's effort, and BeQuick, out of the Black Pride 4, two of the folks, Ashley Braxton and Ripley Bennett, were organizing with BeQuick at that time. So moving forward, we just wanted to continue advocating for the Black Pride 4 and doing whatever it is that we could, along with the help of other community organizers, to make sure that those charges got dropped. And the fact that they didn't get dropped goes to show how the legal system, the criminal injustice system, goes to further criminalize Black, queer, and trans folks, because had justice actually been served, they would not have been brutalized in the first place, but then afterwards, those arrests would not have gone to trial, but they did, so... It just demonstrates the state of affairs for Black, queer, and trans folks here in Columbus, which is just a microcosm of this larger network of racism and transphobia that spans the United States and the globe at large.
Is it fair to say there was a rift between the more traditional, even though that's what they probably are, white, gay power structure in the gay and lesbian community, and groups like BeQuick? I mean, it seemed that, I heard some people saying that, some of the white males seemed to be helping the police convict the Black Pride 4. Was there any conflict there?
Right, yeah. There has been a rift, but then I think that the way that Stonewall Columbus, the way that they reacted, or rather their lack of action after the Black Pride 4 arrest, just goes to show the rift. It just illustrated the rift that was already there between Black, queer, and trans folks in Columbus, in the world at large, and, you know, mainstream white gay folks, cis white gay folks who have sort of come to represent the entire community. Mm-hmm. The Black Pride 4 went there with the intention to call awareness or raise awareness around the violence that Black, queer, and trans folks face regularly, and that queer and trans folks of color face regularly. And to know that, you know, Stonewall was originally a riot against police harassment led by queer and trans folks of color, to then, like, almost 50 years later see queer and trans folks of color protest police harassment and then not be assisted by the main LGBTQ org here in the city, that illustrates the rift that was already there. Stonewall Columbus and a lot of the mainstream LGBTQ orgs, from Equitas to, you know, like Capital Pride in D.C. to Albuquerque Pride in New Mexico with, like, our comrades with Trans Queer Pueblo, it just shows that there is a large disconnect between what it is that the most marginalized folks in the community need and what the elite in the LGBTQ community will actually provide. And they will very rarely provide support or uplift queer and trans folks of color. And we saw that here with Stonewall Columbus. And to elaborate on the point that you made, they did go so far as to testify against the Black Pride 4 in court. And we know now that they were subpoenaed, but there is, with Stonewall and all the resources that they can move, there was wiggle room around that, and they
well,
could have
I,
done
I
stuff
actually,
prior.
Yeah, I heard that testimony, and I thought it was very much pro-prosecution. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can testify, and I think the whole trial, you know, and I speak here as an attorney, the whole trial itself, it was denied the fact that it was about freedom and First Amendment rights and free speech from the judge on down. And the police admitted that they violated the orders of the day. Now you did have the parade director who did the right thing and resigned, but you weren't getting any real support from the traditional gay, lesbian, often corporatized community.
Yeah, there was just a complete lack of accountability. I mean, the board execs, they're still in place, and it was one of our demands, the community's demands, that all of the board executives who were in place at that time resign in good faith, and they have yet to do so. Carla, quote unquote, retired, but and that's a victory, you know, organizing gets the goods, but it's still just a very incomplete and small victory considering like what the Black Pride 4 were up against.
And now you're doing your own community organizing. What are you planning for gay pride activities?
Right. So Be Quick, we are organizing Columbus Community Pride to take place the first 2 weeks of June, starting this Saturday, the 2nd, with our kickoff party, and having four events total afterwards, ending in the Columbus Community Pride Festival on the 16th of June. And this festival, or Community Pride, is really just about returning Pride to its radical roots. We saw last year at Stonewall's Pride, but then also in multiple other cities where protests happened against white gay corporate pride, that queer and trans folks are frustrated with the way that things are. You know, we are so far away, we've been so divorced from Pride's original roots, and Pride was originally rooted in protest, in speaking up against state-sanctioned violence, and making sure that the most marginalized were centered. So that's what we want to do with Pride. We want to completely uplift queer and trans folks of color through the vendors that we have at the festival, through the performers that we have at all of our different events and the speakers. We are going to start off with our kickoff party. We're going to have a day to honor Marsha P. Johnson. There's going to be a film screening of Major, the documentary about Miss Major Griffin Gracie, a Black trans elder. And then we are also going to have a zine release party to highlight the art and voices of queer and trans folks of color in Columbus and Central Ohio. And this is going to be a more radical, grassroots, person of color-centered Pride celebration that will run counter to Stonewall's Pride, because everything they stand for, we are against.
So you're starting this Saturday. Where's the location? What's the time if people wish to come out and support your activities?
Right. So Saturday is going to be the kickoff party at the Summit, which is 2210 Summit Street, and it'll be from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and there will be three different events after that, and then the Community Pride Festival on the 16th of June. And that, the festival, will be taking place at Mamie Moore Park from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. All of our events are all ages. There will be ASL interpretation provided because we want to make sure that it's as accessible as possible. But if people want more information, they can visit our Facebook page. We're at BeQuick or BQIC. And they can also go to columbuscommunitypride.org. We are also still taking donations for Pride because we want all of our events to be completely free to attend, and we aren't taking corporate sponsorship. So folks can also go to columbuscommunitypride.org to find the link to donate.
All right. And again, you're listening to WGRN 94.1, The People's Voice, and we're talking about Community Pride and the group Be Quick that is dealing with the issues of race and identity and class within the Pride movement itself. Now, the selection of Mamie Moore Park, does that, it's on the east side, it's not a traditional route through the short north, is there a deliberate reason you chose that park?
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure that we had a festival in an area that was prominently lived in by Black folks and people of color, folks from lower income backgrounds, just because we want Pride to be accessible to everyone, but especially those who can't easily make it up to the short north who might not feel comfortable at a whitewashed, corporatized festival. We just want Community Pride to really uplift and advocate for those who don't often get to speak or who don't often get to be visible. So we chose that park because it is in a predominantly Black neighborhood. And, you know, going around sharing information with folks these past few weeks, everyone seems to be really excited about it. And they're really excited to stop by.
All right, Dekema Alexis. And again, the listeners can go online and find information where?
At they can go to our Facebook page. We are at BQIC, or BQIC, and then they can also go to columbuscommunitypride.org. That has all of the information about our five different events for Community Pride.
All right. Thank you for being on the other side of the news.
Thank you, Bob.
You're listening to 94.1, The Green Renaissance. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news and other events. I've got Helen Stewart on the line.
Hello.
Good to talk to you, Helen. She's with BQIC, Black, Queer, and Intersectional Columbus. And what is BQIC up to?
Well, right now we're up to, you know, we're focusing on Community Pride. We've decided that Stonewall Columbus Pride is no longer safe for queer and trans people of color, and has lost focus on the entire purpose of Pride. So we want to make sure that we're bringing that back, making sure that we're really providing a safe space for everyone for this Pride.
Okay, why? This is interesting news. I think I know, having observed a trial in the city, but why are you saying Pride is not now a safe space?
Well, so last Pride in June 2017, Stonewall held a Pride Festival just like any other year. Mm-hmm. There were national demonstrations that were happening among queer and trans people of color at their local Prides, to show, one, highlighting all of the police brutality and state-sanctioned violence that's mm-hmm. been against them, in addition to just demanding inclusivity from our own community, which has been lost. And there were quite a few organizers at Columbus's Pride who had demonstrated. Unfortunately, although they called for 7 minutes of silence to bring awareness to everything, they were pretty much based on and brutalized by police within 30 seconds of them even asking for that silence. So trying to demonstrate in a nonviolent way within our own community, our own pride, and unfortunately police brutality happened. And really Stonewall's response to it all, in not even being able to acknowledge that police brutality occurred, being unwilling to really address the unique needs of queer and trans people of color and really hear from the community and validate our concerns. So because they were unable to really do that, we decided to take it upon ourselves and listen to our community and make sure that there was somewhere for them to go, somewhere for them to learn, and somewhere for them to be themselves.
All right. And the kickoff in part is this Saturday, June 2nd. What's that about?
So the kickoff is going to be great. It's going to be at the Summit, which is 2210 Summit Street. It's going to be from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Anyone 18 or plus is able to go. And it's just going to be a fun way for us to be informal, for us to dance, appreciate Black, Brown, and Queer DJs that will be playing all night, and we're playing an eclectic array of music. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a good way to kick everything off and just show people that we can have a good time and be safe.
You're also, as I recall looking at your site, into doing film screenings and educational panels. What's going on there?
Yeah, so that was a component that was really important to all of us. It was something that, in kind of reviewing Stonewall's Pride over the years, that we had saw was missed and kind of slipped through the cracks. You know, I think it's really important to capitalize if there's going to be 500,000 people potentially in a city going to your festival. I think you have a responsibility to educate as many people as you can about the unique needs of our community, our history, and really, you know, paying respect to a lot of the activists that have, you know, helped our cause along the way. In not being able to do so, you know, you're almost in a part of some form of erasure. So we wanted to make sure that we gave credit to Miss Major Griffin Gracie. That'll be the major screening and panel. She will actually be a special guest that night too via Skype. So we'll be able to directly link with her, ask her questions, understand her experiences and her lifelong activism. So I'm really excited about that. That'll be June 5th, and we're going to be having it at Columbus State in the Delaware Hall.
All right, that's from 6 to 9 p.m. What can you tell us about the Major, Miss Major Griffin Gracie? What is a little of her life story?
Well, you know, she definitely has been involved in lifelong activism her entire life, being a trans woman of color. She was herself a part of the Stonewall riots, was there at the time that it was happening. She was there with her girlfriend that night. So, you know, we definitely want to show, in going in our theme being back to our roots, we want to be able to show and highlight the activists that were actually there at the Stonewall riots, their lifelong work afterwards, and making sure that we're continuing to remember that.
And again, students have asked me on occasion, you know, what one event in history do you think is the most significant? Or particularly, which one would you want to be at? I always say the Stonewall riot. particularly, I'd like to follow the police back to the police station.
Yeah.
when they come in and explain to the sergeant, what happened? Was it the Hell's Angels? No. Gay lesbians and trans people kicked our ass!
Exactly. Right on their own, too, which is what I love the most. So it's great that there was this immediate collective, you know, idea just to go ahead and go for it, and they were tired of it, and I think that was kind of exuded in that riot, so kudos to them, and I appreciate everything that they've done.
Yes, definitely. We know it was a rebellion. We know that repression breeds rebellion and liberation, so sounds like
Absolutely.
A great event. And another interesting one I found was this notion of you're doing zines?
Yes. So, you know, one thing that we've definitely done from the beginning, I think even the first event with Be Quick was a zine release. So we've always wanted to highlight and appreciate Black, brown, and queer artists. Our city, as you know, is vibrant with them all over Ohio, really. But Columbus is definitely special with the art market. So we wanted to make sure that we were calling for anyone within the community, all over the state, to be able to go ahead and submit their work so we can kind of put it in the zine compilation. We can still definitely take submissions. We're always willing to create more zines, even if it's not for this particular pride.
And again, I've purchased some art pieces, which I found stunning. But really, the art that's going out there in the zines and in various forms, you know, I think will be iconic in the future and pay tribute to the roots of this new community pride movement.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to document what's going on and allowing for all individuals to be able to document it in their own expressive way. You know, some of us can post things, some of us can write great scholarly articles, so it's great that we're able to ask for so many of our artists to contribute. We're going to have a zine release for all of that we're able to submit to us, and we'll have that on June 7th at the 934 Gallery, and that'll be from 6 to 9. We'll also have a cookout, because who doesn't love food at an event, so we'll make sure we feed you too.
And the 934 Gallery, is that on Cleveland Avenue?
It is, 934 Cleveland Avenue, so it's easy to remember.
And on June 11th, the Marsha P. Johnson Day, what can you tell me about that with special guest Dora Santana?
Yes, I'm so excited about that particularly. I have wanted to hear from her for a long time. That will be June 11th. It'll be at the Vandarelli Room, which is 218 McDowell Street, and that is going to be from 6 to 8. That's all ages appropriate to go there and to learn more about Marsha P. Johnson. So I'm really excited, again, to highlight another activist who was at the Stonewall riots, who's able to, you know, definitely continue to impact our community and, you know, impact us and move us in a way that we can continue on. So I'm really excited for the guest speaker, and I'm really excited to bring another educational component, because like I said, you know, I think that that's something that's been lost with Stonewall's pride, and so I'm happy that we can bring that to the community.
Mm-hmm. And Dora Santana, I believe, a black Brazilian trans woman and a storyteller?
Yes. So she'll be, you know, definitely giving us her own experiences, but there's a lot of storytelling that she'll be giving us from other people that she's been able to kind of compile that work. So I'm excited for her to be able to share, you know, other activists in our community, their stories, how she's been able to, you know, do her own activist work. And storytelling is such a great way to have activism. I feel like a lot of people aren't really familiar with it or don't see the value in it. So I'm really excited to bring that aspect to Pride.
And again, except for a small group of conquistadors and Euros at the top of Brazilian society, in many ways, Brazil is far more open on human sexuality and on issues of race than the United States.
Yeah, I think that there's something definitely to be learned from their, you know, community and their culture, and I'm excited that she's going to be able to share that with us. You know, we're all about highlighting other movements, other activists, and, you know, not just in the U.S., but internationally, too. I think that there's a lot to learn from us all, and so I'm really excited that she can come in and provide that perspective.
Yeah, it seems like a very broad program, educational, cultural, political, and really, you know, at the essence of intersectionality, which is at your purpose. And then finally, community pride, back to the roots, back to our roots. That's going to happen on what day?
That'll happen Saturday, June 16th. So that'll be the last of our events. So that'll actually be the Pride Festival. It'll be at Mamie Moore Park, which is next to the King Lincoln's complex and across from the Columbus Urban League. Some people kind of know it by that. That's 240 Martin Luther King Drive, mm-hmm. or Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, excuse me. And that's from 11 a.m. to 7. So, again, this is going to be an event for all ages. I'm definitely fine to, you know, bring the young ones there as well. And that'll just be a day of celebrating, you know, our culture, celebrating the activists that, you know, hopefully people who have attended have learned about, opening up to, you know, community conversations. We'll definitely have some food trucks there. They'll all be owned by people of color, so it'll be a great way to kind of, you know, make sure that we're highlighting and making visible a lot of smaller entrepreneurs. And then, of course, we're going to be highlighting a lot of grassroots organizations that are just kind of getting started, and be having a lot of community resource tables specifically for people of color and queer and trans people of color. So it'll be a really good event. It'll definitely be for everyone, with a focus on queer and trans people of color. You'll get to learn from a lot of different organizations locally around the state. And, of course, we want to make sure that we have the resources available for everyone, too.
Well, thank you, Helen Stewart, for sharing those activities and community pride headed back to their roots. Thank you
so much.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.